Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Hey, Pacers fans, welcome to another episode of the Player Season Preview Series. Today I had Ben Gibson, the site expert and humor expert for 8.9 seconds on with me to talk about the upcoming season for TJ Leaf. TJ Leaf's kind of hard to project because he's a rookie and it's not really known how much impact or playing time he'll have this year. But me and Ben took our best stab at it, basically get off his college stats and the rest of the roster and his summer league performances. I really like TJ Leaf and I think he might be a good player someday, so you'll have to tune in to see how I think he'll do this coming season. As always, the presenting sponsor of Locked On Pacers is SeatGeek. Use the code LONBA at checkout on the SeatGeek app for $20 off your first purchase. And now, TJ Leaf.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, we're continuing on with our season player preview series for the Pacers. Today with me on Locked On Pacers, I have the site expert for 8.9 seconds, the CNN Philippines Pacers ambassador, a dad, a lawnmower owner, a lot of stuff. We got Ben Gibson. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great to all of our fans in the Philippines, which actually is the biggest our website outside of America. So we actually do have a Filipino audience. So to them, I say hello.
I should note that the Locked On Pacers' second biggest conglomerate outside of the United States is Japan. So hello to our Japanese listeners. Me and Ben are going to talk about TJ Leaf today, the inspiring first-round pick. Ben had me do some scouting earlier in the year, and I wrote about TJ Leaf, and I believe my conclusion to the article was TJ Leaf is okay in the draft, and I don't think I would pick him at 18, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I believe that's exactly what you said.
So Leaf comes in with a lot of intrigue, I guess is a good way to put it. The Pacers have a kind of crowded front court rotation, so it'll be tough to see how he goes. TJ Leaf is from, well, he was originally born in Israel. He's one of the few Israeli players ever to play in the NBA. He grew up in California, went to UCLA, played with Lonzo Ball and other Pacer Ike and Nick Bogu, and he was drafted with the 18th pick. And I don't know how much he's going to play this year, but if we want to look at his college stats to kind of get a basis of what we can expect him to offer, he started and played in every one of UCLA's games and played almost 30 minutes a game and shot 64% from the field as well as 47% from deep, which are all very encouraging stats. Ben, what do you like about TJ Leaf that you've seen so far?
I think it's going to be – I mean, it's what everyone's saying, but his offense, he seems to shoot the ball pretty well, maybe a little reluctant to, you know, fire from deep. But you shoot 46% from three and 64 from inside the arc. Those are good things. They don't always translate perfectly to the NBA, but summer league with these guys, he looked fine. Looks like he could shoot the ball. He had offensive instincts. He grabbed some offensive rebounds. So, I mean – it's tough because, you know, how much that is actually going to translate, but at the same time, at least things well. And that's something to build off of. It always worries me when any team drafts a guy and I'm kind of like, you know, he's obviously an okay basketball player, but what's he going to go to, you know, when he needs to contribute? I mean, you need to have Boy Allen. He could grab rebounds. Like maybe he wasn't anyone's favorite player, but he had something to go to, and thankfully Leaf's got his offense and his shooting, which hopefully will translate to the NBA.
Yeah, what I saw hopefully. In summer league a lot, I think I clipped this a lot in articles too, is he would kind of get his outside shot going a little bit, and then when the defense would get complacent, he would fake it and put it on the floor and get to the rim, and he had a lot of success doing that in summer league, and I would hope that would be something he can do with the Pacers, even if he does get limited minutes, just because, like you said, he's such a good offensive player, and he does kind of have that inside-out game, but that is all relying on his three-point shot falling, and I'm not too sure if I know if that's going to happen or not.
And it could be something like, well, we're still waiting for Miles Turner really to start hitting threes, but there's going to be a transition unless you've really an expert in college. I'm going to be kind of worried about how quickly you can pick that up, you know, difference. It's not like you can just say, oh, it's going to take a step back. There's a lot more that goes into someone's shot than just, you know, moving your feet back a little bit.
Right. And what I will say, like go ahead.
I was going to say, but at the same time, I mean, 46% and by 10%, that means it's acceptable. So, I mean,
awesome.
And he only shot about two a game in college. But if he essentially hits the one out of three he'll take in a game, hopefully. But if he's at least hitting that kind of, I don't know if we have a proper term for it, but essentially the Mendoza line of three-point shooting in the NBA, you know, and hopefully he builds off that. Like, I think people expect guys to come in and immediately take over. Look at Miles Turner. He when he first started playing, I liked him, but I'm somewhat surprised where he's at now, just because I wasn't fully convinced he was going to be, you know, at least a top 50 or so player in the NBA, and that's roughly where he's at right now.
Oh, yeah, I think all of us are surprised. Even, like, Paul George, like, no one saw his big outburst coming after his rookie season, so you never really know. On his three-point shot, I will say it's a lot of arms, which is encouraging. It's not as much legs, because when you're farther back, you know, it's just a little more wrist. And so form-wise, I'm encouraged by his ability to get back behind the line. But again, the other team's scouting report's going to be, hey, this guy shot 47% from three in college. So, you know, kind of let him get in the mid-range and inside. But if he gets it from deep, get out there. So we'll have to see on that one. Other noteworthy post stats. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I still feel good because he shoots well from inside. So it's not as if he's, you know, kind of a gimmicky player that's going to have to hit his threes to contribute. I think you'll want him to take those mid-range shots, but hopefully to Paul George style-wise, but hopefully like Paul George, you get to a point where, yeah, that isn't the analytics great shot, but if you shoot 40-some percent or, you know, 45-plus percent from mid-range, I don't mind if you're taking that shot.
Right. We saw in his college days, you know, this is always encouraging to me, like Jason Tatum, Varal, how good scoring he is. Sometimes when I would watch him in college, he just, like, couldn't beat his defender. And to me, if you can't beat a college defender, like, your time in the NBA is going to be kind of rough. I mean, I know he's really good at creating his own shot in other ways. But with Leaf, I never saw that. Like, he always – when he needed to put the ball on the floor and get to the rim, he could always get by his matchup, which, you know, maybe he can't in the NBA, but at least he has the tools to do so if he needs to. You know, and I think that's very encouraging.
Yeah, it's kind of like, to me, not more of a football analogy, but you aren't going to get away. You see these college players essentially kind of get humbled at first when they come into the NBA because, or any league, just because you get away with because you're just a better athlete. You're a better player than some of your competition, where of athleticism and skill in the NBA is totally different. You don't have, you know, just the ability of, yeah, I'm better. Because there's a lot more guys that are going to be better than you, especially coming in as a rookie. But the fact that, like you said, he has that those tools to be able to transfer to the NBA. Probably not all of them, but like I said, you want some tools to work with. You don't want him just hoping to average his way by, you know?
Right, and it's also nice he played with an NBA point guard. You can see kind of that, you know, he gels with players who also play high IQ basketball. I know he's been coined as a high IQ guy. Another stat that I find encouraging for Leaf, you know, he played the four. He kind of played next to EK, who was a good rebounder, but he averaged over 8 rebounds a game. And he's not, like, the tallest guy. I think he's, like, 6'10", which is pretty tall, but not the tallest guy, and he's not the beefiest guy. So the fact that he's able to, you know, have the anticipation to grab 8 boards a game, to me, that's also very encouraging. Would you agree?
Especially grabbing offensive boards, because I feel like those are harder to, you know, those are always harder to get. So having a little bit of instinct and everything, that's a hard thing to coach or to learn. It just seems like some guys just have it sometimes, that ability to track a ball properly off the rim. I mean, we've seen plenty of times it's not just a guy's size that makes him a good rebounder. You need that mix of, you know, being bigger than everyone else, but also just being able to figure out where to go. And I think it's encouraging that, you know, his wingspan's a little bit taller than his height for most of the things I've seen. So you kind of hope he can sneak in and grab a few of those rebounds that maybe some guys aren't expecting him to get. And that's why I'm always excited about a guy's wingspan, not just because I get a drink when Jay Billis says it during the draft.
I bet Jay Billis loves TJ Leaf. Some other encouraging stats, 66 true shooting. That's just unbelievable. I mean, you can't really ask for much better than that at a college. Turnover rate, just around 11%. So, you know, he takes care of the ball at least reasonably well when he has it. That's not perfect, but, you know, it's kind of what you want for a guy that young. You can easily teach him, you know, to take care more care of the ball. And in his limited minutes, I'm sure he won't look great as a rookie, but, you know, he can grow into that kind of thing. And over a block a game, which, you know, like we talked about, he's not the most athletic guy, but, again, that anticipation, you can totally tell he's got it if he's getting blocks as well.
Yeah. Defense still scares me.
Oh, it does. We'll get to that. But we were just talking stats for this, for this portion. I guess we might as well just do it now. Scouting report basically only talks about TJ Leaf's offense because his defense is not good at all. I can't really explain it well because in college, UCLA just dominated everybody. But his offensive rating is 29 points higher than his defensive rating from college. I guess that's an effective way to put it. It's just not very good. I didn't watch enough of his defense in summer league to truly say, but it's bad.
Hey guys, we're taking a break from talking about TJ Leaf so I can tell you about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one ticket aggregating site and app there is. SeatGeek will take every ticket on the resale market and put it all in one place for you to see, and has their own valuation equation they use to tell you if the ticket you're buying is good value, bad value, or just regular value for where you're sitting. It's really cool. It comes up with a big green dot if you're getting good value, a red dot if you're getting bad value, and a yellow dot if you're just getting okay value. But it bases it on a variety of factors, including view and just generally, you know, how the seat tends to be. And you should really check out SeatGeek if you're going to buy tickets to a game. And if you do, you should use the code LONBA to get $20 off your first purchase. You can use it for concerts, events, games, anything. And once again, that code is LONBA. You can use SeatGeek on your phone, your tablet, your laptop, anything. I would highly recommend you use SeatGeek. And now back to TJ Leaf.
Yeah, I don't know how good his defense will be, but he won't be playing a lot of minutes, and if he does, it's garbage time, so his defense won't be all that important. What do you think about that?
I think it sometimes gets overstated because you can scheme around him. You know, if he's playing with Miles Turner or even, you know, just a decent defensive big behind him, you can at least scheme around him. Obviously, he's going to be a liability, but it's not as if, you know, there's just going to be, I mean, obviously there could be, but you just hope that it isn't just a giant hole and you hope there's certain things he can fix and learn. I mean, that, you know, it's possible for him to fix it, but I don't think where he's ever going to win a Defensive Player of the Year award or anything. I think some people who act as if these guys can't learn at least a little bit, it just seems like a bit of an overstatement about any player, but obviously that's going to be the biggest thing I watch for when he is on the floor is not be, you know, a turnstile.
Yeah. Ben Falk, who has that website, Cleaning the Glass. I know his defensive how he defines it is can't, won't, and doesn't know how. And I think for Leaf, most of it is the best category, which to me is can't. You know, we just talked about his anticipation on both the glass and with the blocks. So you got to think he knows what he's doing. He just doesn't necessarily have the capabilities to do so, which I think is encouraging at least.
Yeah, I mean there's been more than one player that's learned how to play defense. And to a certain extent, you just need him to get to average. You don't need him to become some stopper as much as you just need him exposed on every play.
Right, you got to hope his offense is as good as his defense is bad or better, and that's the ultimate goal. And if he needs that offense to be good, he'll have to probably play the right role just because rookies don't always have the best impact in their first season. Do you think he can have any impact this season, and what role do you think he would have the best impact in?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Oh, sorry, yeah. What role do you think he can have the biggest impact in this year?
I mean, I think if his shooting translates, I think it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, but a little bit of a fire starter coming off the bench, just hit a few shots, maybe get things going. Because I don't think you can really defense. I don't think you can throw him in there for too long. But even in non-garbage time minutes, if his shots, you know, translates to the NBA, throw him in there, maybe get a few points. You know, you kind of steal a few points here and there, and you just hope that that's how it works. You know, you hope that the rest of those things will come around with time. But I think there's games. I think, you know, as long as that shot keeps, yeah, you can get a little bit out of them. But like you said, it's probably going to be mainly garbage time and things like that. So about it. But I do think there's a role for him, you know, coming in and just hitting a few shots and hopefully stretching the floor. But kind of like you mentioned earlier, it's a little crowded because, you know, that's what Thad Young does at the four. A lot of threes, but you have to at least respect that he's going to knock down one if you leave him out there. And he showed that last year, at least before the wrist injury, that, you know, he's going to hit a three or two. It still amazed me that there was one game, I think he made more three-pointers in that game than he did the entire season before with the Nets. I'd have to double-check on that, but there's a chance he could hit threes. You know, it wasn't going to be, you know, it's not like he was going to hit a ton of them, but just to see how quickly he started to, you know, he overcame the numbers from the year before or within the first few months, or maybe within the first month. Sometimes we say these things about a guy like, oh, he can do this, he can do that. They just haven't used him. But no, it's just, he is kind of I wouldn't call him a stretch four, but a stretchy four that can, you know, just, you don't need him to knock down all the threes, but that you kick the ball out to him, there's a decent chance, an above average chance that it's going to go in, really.
Yeah, me and Will talked about that for the Thaddeus Young pod, and we talked about how he was shooting over 40% from three before the wrist injury. That was just crazy. That was awesome. I kind of hope Leaf can hit that role and hit that percentage eventually. You said garbage time would be the primary role. I do agree with that. I think one scenario you might see him in is just like a late shot clock or late quarter and they need a three situation. I mean, you might as well put him in if they're not going to have a defensive possession, just because he can score a little bit. You might as well. But again, Thaddeus Young is probably the better option in that case. So,
I mean, as much as we criticize McMillan, I hope he's going to at least get try a few things this year, just because he won't find ways to win. He's going to be out of a job, I would think, just because you can have a bad year, but you need to show some development in these players. You can't just, you know, run the same thing over and over like that. I do not advocate for firing people just because, I don't know, it just feels kind of wrong. But when a coach is here, he's going to have to develop players, and we'll find out if that's something in his repertoire.
That's part of the challenge. Like you said, is if you do develop him, you have Sabonis in the same position.
That's, yeah. I mean, move down a position.
One of them's going to have to play.
I mean, like, yeah. Yeah, I'll say, I mean, I know that they've structured these contracts to make a lot of them expendable next year. But, yeah, what do you do if your draft pick and, you know, Sabonis both look all right, you know?
Yeah.
So you could trade one of them, but I guess then I wish maybe the money was spent elsewhere.
Exactly, and it's tough, and I'm sure with Leaf and Sabonis in together, which will probably, if at all, happens this year for like maybe a total of 10 minutes, I would get to be Leaf 4 and Sabonis 5 and just like some small ball, get the young guys in the game lineup that has a negative 30 net rating or something like that.
That would be when you played Al Jefferson and Lavoy Allen, I think, together last year.
Poor LaVoy, not on a team.
I get why they cut him, but at the same time, too, it just seemed like, I don't know. I guess it's good that they've been getting some younger players and some prospects in. If they would have just signed too many older guys, I would have been pretty upset, just because it's like, if you're going, unless you're getting younger, I don't see why you don't keep a guy that you weren't really paying that much.
Yeah, the front court was just too clogged, and that would have taken away Leaf's very already limited minutes. So I think he kind of had to cut him if you wanted him to play. Another thing with Leaf, though, is
put LaVoy at point guard. Put LaVoy at point guard. We'll make it work.
do whatever it takes, right? Another quick hitter with Leaf. I think he can play the three a little bit just because of that inside-out ability we talked about earlier and how he's kind of quicker. You know, he's 6'10", so it'll be tough, but his skills do kind of fit that of a wing. He just can't guard a wing, so it'd have to be in non-important minutes. But I think he could play the three eventually if that defense comes around. Do you think that too?
I think it'd be very lineup dependent, but you know that's what coaching's for. If you can find some lineups where you know he's not going to get exposed or anything like that, yeah, that doesn't seem too crazy. It would probably be in a limited minutes situation because you know there's just probably not going to be too many times the other team's going to trot out five guys where that's going to make sense. That's how you win games. It's getting some points in the margins every so often.
Yes, but I don't think you use TJ Leaf to get the points in the margins this coming season. I think with Leaf, we're talking about his upcoming.
Not this season at all.
we're kind of projecting for this season, but I think it is important to talk about the future. I do think his fit next to Turner eventually will be awesome if he kind of projects to be what he's supposed to be. I keep seeing projection systems that have him in like a top 15 player in this draft, which I'm sort of skeptical of, but. Still, I think, if you get two inside-out bigs who can both handle the ball, that is, like, the dream scenario right now for Indiana, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that needs to be the plan, or at least you're going to have to hope that it is to a certain extent, the way the roster is built, if nothing else.
Yeah, going forward, would you have more faith in Leaf and Turner or Sabonis and Turner?
This is a little bit of a, you know, cop out, but it's, I just don't know because I haven't seen enough of Sabonis to a lot of people, think he may be able to, you know, do a little bit of something this year. I guess a little bit of Leaf because I feel like a shot is something that translates. I mean, I guess Sabonis can hit shots too, but, certain level that if you can shoot, that translates a whole lot better than some other things and maybe deal a lot more with your athleticism and things like that. But I wouldn't be betting too much on either just because I guess I'm just skeptical.
Well, of course, it's always safe to be skeptical, especially with Sabonis, that all of his three-point percentage basically came in like the first 10 or 15 games. But with Leaf, you know, he played well in summer league, and right now I'm intrigued by him, and I think he has more promise than I thought when I originally was watching him. But this year, I think his impact's going to be very minimal, and I'm having a really hard time predicting his stats. Do you want to throw your guess at me first for his points, rebounds, and assists?
Four is across the board. I think it'll be one of those things. He comes in, you know, makes a shot or two. Grabs a rebound or two, but, you know, I don't see him being a major contributor this year just because stocked up at in the front court. I think he would have a better chance of putting up a few numbers, but I just think he'd really have to earn a spot. And not that I don't think he's capable of it, but I'm just not expecting him or any of the other draft picks to, you know, break out this year or anything.
I truly like EK a lot, but his knee injury is going to make me hesitant to play him at all this season. I think you're right on it with the 4 points, just because he won't get enough time to really touch the floor a whole lot. I'd be hopeful for 4 assists and 4 boards, but I would say closer to like 4 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. But he'll have awesome per 36 numbers because he'll only play like, 6 minutes a game, would you guess? Not even.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, like we said, it just seems like there's too many people there to happen right now. Someone would really have to wash themselves out of the rotation at this point.
Well, about 4 days ago, I would have said he could pop up above Al Jefferson, but if Al Jefferson's truly skinny and 40 pounds lighter, maybe not.
He's apparently staying away from fried chicken and now a vegetarian. He said that was kind of his downfall was making fried chicken at home.
Wow.
Apparently that apparently that's what started this whole weight loss thing for him, is what he at least told the Indy Star.
Well, TJ Leaf better start making him some fried chicken if he wants to play.
Exactly. Well, actually, I'm worried that, like, Alex is going to have a relapse during the season and somebody's going to come over to his house and there's going to be empty boxes of Popeyes everywhere. You know, he's just like, I'm sorry, I had to have it. And I understand that. I mean, Popeyes is the best. How do you go? Places just aren't the same. You got to go with Popeyes.
Yeah, and what else is he going to spend $9 million on this season, right? Popeyes only.
I'm sure he could get a – I don't know what he could get around Indy for that much money.
All right. You got anything else you want to add about TJ Leaf?
This is actually a very important question to me. Did you catch that I don't know if you call it a report, story. It was mainly just some statistics, but that white American players tended to underperform by their draft position.
No, I did not see that.
If I find it later, I'll send it to you so we can post it, maybe just in case somebody wants to kind of see what I'm talking about. But long story short, on average, white American players underperform their draft position, and that's in comparison to all of their players, including white foreign-born ones. Now, the question here is, what is TJ Leaf? He's born in Israel. He grew up in America. I don't know which box he's going to fall in here. I really don't care about this stuff to a certain extent, but I'm kind of like, so which box is he in? Because if we're going to say he's a white American guy, well, then we might be in trouble. Now, if we're going to go with Israeli, I think we got a lot better shot.
Well, you know, he played really well when he played for Israel in the past.
It's a good sign.
Yeah, I think we should pick Israel for now and hope that in 2 or 3 years we have this kind of stretchy inside out four who can, you know, hopefully play a little defense and fits very nicely next to Miles Turner and whoever the Pacers end up getting in the next free agency / drafts.
No matter where he's from, I just hope he plays well for the Pacers.
I also hope he plays well for the Pacers. All right, TJ Leaf was kind of harder to do because we didn't have anything to base it off of. He was the last pick in the player season preview series draft. I'm sorry, TJ. You were the last of the 11 guys we decided to preview, but thanks for coming on, Ben. I had a lot of fun on this one, even though it was a challenge. We'll be sure to continue the series for you guys. Have a great weekend.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.